Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. The views of our guests, and of course our guest this evening is Corey Brackett. And Corey has an amazing story to tell. She developed multiple sclerosis and, was progressively losing function, until she realized, of course, that her condition was directly related to aspartame. She got off of aspartame, which is NutraSweet, and she really did ever so much better. Now, there are probably many causes of certainly of multiple sclerosis, but certainly one of them is aspartame. And yet, of course, this deadly poison, and it is a poison, and it was known to be a poison by the Federal Drug Administration when they released it into the food supply back in 1981, it really produces cancer, and it affects fertility, but it attacks the nervous system, it produces brain tumors. There are all sorts of difficulties with this, and the government knows it, and of course they persist in this, and they're concealing the truth from the American people. Well, Corey's put together two great videos, both of which are available from Radio Liberty. One is called Sweet Misery, the other called Sweet Remedy, and there really are amazing footage, especially, I like them both, but Sweet Remedy actually has all sorts of footage with Dr., what was his name, that gentleman who did all that research so many years ago?
Well, there are a lot of doctors on there.
But you had a doctor, starts with an O.
Dr. John Olney.
Dr. Olney, was working.
He coined the term excitotoxicity and discovered that aspartic acid could cause holes in the brains of mice in the lab.
And of course, they knew this back in the 1960s, 1970s.
Mm-hmm. Sure did.
And because of his work, the FDA didn't refuse to release it for 15 years?
Yes, it took from 1965 when G.D. Searle released information about the discovery of aspartame in their lab to 1983 when it was approved for use in dry foods.
And of course, it's exploded, and they give it to our children, and they put it in all sorts of prepared foods. And what have you learned about aspartame and its toxic effects, Corey? Because of course, you're pretty much of an expert on it.
Well, there are, there's so many different things. There are 92 symptoms that were released by the FDA through a Freedom of Information Act of different symptoms that people have reported to them regarding the problems with aspartame, and a lot of them are neurological, so they are very vast and varied. Things like dizziness, thinking in a fog, memory loss, slurring of speech, and then into either mimicking or worsening diseases like fibromyalgia, Parkinson's disease, lupus, MS, ADD. There are a number of different things. There's confusion. There's headache is like the top one, which you wouldn't think is a very huge thing, but recently they came out with migraines maybe tied to brain damage.
Well, of course, the thing is that if this is really true, why have they released this to the American people, especially when there's definite proof, at least in animals, that produces cancers of the brain? And of course, we see a dramatic increase in that over the last few years. We'll be right back. Well, Corey, why don't you go right ahead? And Sydney, why was this released? In other words, if ordinarily you would think that the government's there to protect us from these harmful products, and isn't that what their function is, to protect the public?
Well, that ostensibly is their purpose. But the attorney Jim Turner in Sweet Remedy says that he believes that these regulatory agencies are born captured, that they do not come into existence until industry needs them. I think, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a twofold thing, that they're not only lying to us in the form of PR and saying that aspartame is safe and things like that, but they're affecting our ability to discern that lie that they're telling us from the truth. And they're doing that by putting such excitotoxins in our food supply like aspartame and MSG, or fluoride in our water supply, or all these different food additives and so forth that cloud our thinking, that make us very sheep-like and able to just let it go and not really consider all of these things as terribly important. And so therefore they're able to get things passed that take away our freedoms. I really like the idea that you talk about on your site about regaining our freedoms, about finding a way to get our freedoms back and going back to a time when things were freer. I'd like to ask the audience if they remember a time in our past, perhaps as children or teenagers, even young adults, when we had a sense of clarity in our thoughts, when we were quick to find the right word for what we wish to express. Even as time goes on and on and our vocabulary increases and gets better, we seem to be into an encroaching fog. How many people out there slowly discover some difficulty in recalling once important stories and observations, and then it drives me crazy to understand. Then once we sense we're watching something on television news that contradicts our basic sense of what we know, how many people simply let it go rather than attempt to recollect what we've learned exactly from and challenges what we're fed on television? We see these things on television and in the news media that are directly contradicting what we
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Archer Stan, and Corey has said that really she believes that these federal agencies like the Federal Drug Administration and the Environmental Protection Agency were really set up, of course, when industry needed them to cover for things that industry was doing that was really deleterious. And, of course, then when the lawsuits come, they can always say, well, the federal government, after you said it was safe, and certainly if the federal government said it's safe, it's like fluoride. How could you possibly be critical, you know, of companies that manufacture fluoride and contaminate a farmland or injure people when the government allows this to be put into the water? How could it possibly be dangerous? And I would like to suggest that it's put in the water because it is dangerous, and that's the last thing they want the people to know. Wonderful fertility. I mean, do you ever wonder why we have so many cancers now back in the beginning of the 20th century, why the incidence of cancer was 3 per 100 and now it's 50 per 100, back many, many years ago, why certainly we didn't see all the people having difficulty with fertility. We didn't find the testosterone level dropping dramatically in men, or the sperm count dropping dramatically. All of these things are directly related to the fluoride, and the scientific studies show it, and we've got them all, certainly in our fluoride syllabus, with the scientific studies are there. But how many dentists have ever read the scientific studies? How many doctors who tell you fluoride is perfectly safe, and anybody who's concerned about it has to be some sort of a nut? And, well, anybody, of course, who's concerned about aspartame, why the government would never release something that produces cancer and put it in our food that we're giving to our children, would they? And then we wonder why so many of our children are developing brain cancers and other types of cancers. Well, Corey, as you, of course, travel around the country talking to people, did you find many people who improved these neurological diseases after they'd gotten off their aspartame?
Absolutely. I found that pretty much everybody I talked to got better after they got off of MS. After they got off of aspartame. And it wasn't just MS. It was people with brain tumors. It was who had difficulty with their memories as a result. It was people with lupus and fibromyalgia. All of these different things. Dr. Russell Blaylock had mentioned in our documentary how people can be improved once they stop these toxins. And a lot of times I believe that we're feeding our disease and our illness with toxins that help perpetuate the very disease that we're trying to curb. We're not allowing our body to heal. Our body wants to heal itself, but if we're continually feeding it sludge and junk, then it's really making the job very difficult for it to do.
Well, you know, we're seeing, of course, Parkinson's disease in younger and younger people. And, of course, a lot of them, of course, are going ahead and drinking all these soft drinks that are laden. We don't want to have anything fattening like sugar, so we're going to go ahead and put aspartame in them. And, of course, this is exactly what's producing the problems. We find all this talk about, obesity. Have you noticed all this talk on television about obesity? And they show us people with fat stomachs and, pathological obesity. The government's got to do something about it.
Well, it's been horrible. Severe obesity in this country has doubled, has had a 50% increase between 2000 and 2005. That's just 5 years. And that is just a nightmare to think about. When you look globally, you look at a country like Sweden, and in over 25-year time span, obesity rates have doubled there, too. Now, there was a 9% increase in France and a 12% increase in Germany. So all of these countries, Japan has been experiencing increases in obesity.
Do they allow aspartame in all those other countries, or is it just in America they allow it?
Oh, it's been rubber stamped throughout the world once it was approved for use through the FDA.
Now, my understanding is, of course, that when they were doing the initial studies on aspartame and aspartic acid, they found that it actually produced pathological obesity in animals. And certainly, there's no reason if it produces pathological obesity in animals that it wouldn't produce pathological obesity in human beings. Have there been any studies to show that it leads to pathological obesity in human beings? And what about animals? I've heard that when they're trying to fatten them up before they take them to slaughter, why they'll give them aspartame. Is there any truth to that?
From what I understand, they feed them MSG.
That's another excitotoxin.
That reacts similarly in the brain, according to Dr. John Olney's studies, who studied both MSG. He was he along with attorney Jim Turner were critical for getting MSG out of baby food. And Dr. Olney went on to study aspartic acid, one of the breakdown components of aspartame, and found that it was doing the same thing as MSG. Dr. Blaylock mentions that there's a synergistic effect in people, so that when you have both, when you have MSG, let's say you have some MSG-laden food, and it's not only in Chinese food, by the way. It's in thousands and thousands of products labeled everything from natural flavors to hydrolyzed vegetable protein to yeast extract. But anyway, I'm getting a little bit off the point. But it's both of those things can really create obesity, and they do act very similarly.
All right, fine. Sydney, add the aspartame, to the products in the MSG. Why? Because it produces pathological obesity, and then the government comes along and says, gee, look at that pathological obesity. We're going to have to do all sorts of things to cut back on it. But the scientific studies were there. They were there back in 1981 when they released these products into the food chain, knowing full well what was going to happen. Now, what about the brain tumor? Would you like to talk about that? What were the studies in the animals as far as brain tumors were concerned? And what is the relationship to the marked increase in human brain tumors we've seen since aspartame was put in the food chain?
Well, there was a rise shortly after aspartame went on the market. Very recently, there was a Ramazzini study, it was called, from the Ramazzini Institute in Italy. Dr. Siffredi looked at 1,800 rats in 2005, and he found a marked increase in lymphomas, leukemias, and brain tumors in those rats.
And those were the ones who were taking the aspartame, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you, Dr. Sim. They were the aspartame-fed rats.
Yeah, and, of course, there's reports have come out within the last week to 10 days about the relationship between aspartame and cancer. And yet, of course, we see all sorts of things on the headlines of the papers and reported in Time and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report at the same time. But they never report these things about the relationship between these food additives, specifically aspartame, NutraSweet, and MSG, and the cancer. And you wonder why they have access to the information. Why does the controlled media suppress this information unless, of course, they're not concerned about the fact that there are so many people developing cancer, as we've increased from 3 people per 100 with cancer in the early 20th century to well over 50% of everybody in America, and specifically in America, and I'm sure in the European countries as well. But you're not seeing this in the underdeveloped countries. You're not seeing this high incidence of cancer and lymphomas in the underdeveloped countries that you're seeing here. And you would think that they might go to their own studies, and yet there's almost like there's a coordinated effort to conceal this information. Have you ever had that feeling, Corey?
Very much so. You know, it's interesting when you mention how there was all these reports that came out talking about aspartame right about the same time as this Ramazzini study. The FDA was saying that they had reviewed the data that was available to them from the first study, because the Ramazzini Institute did two studies. They looked first in 2005 at the carcinogenicity of aspartame, and they found a direct correlation. And so then they went on after they heard, well, you let the rats live too long. Well, Dr. Stan, I let you live too long. I'm sorry. You're going to have to go now. You've lived too long.
Well, why would they say they let the rats live too long? Or was this simply a means of justifying or trying to cover up the significance of that? I mean, actually, there are laws that say if a product produces cancer in animals, it can't be given to human beings. They seem to sort of ignore that.
Exactly. It's a Delaney Amendment, and it should be looked at, but it's, you know, they're so busy doing this PR that covers up any potential problems, any real problems that people are experiencing out in the field in a day-to-day basis, that we're not getting at the truth.
Well, now, do you have a website where people could go and get this information we're talking about?
Yes, it's www.sweetremedy.tv.
And what will they find if they go there?
Well, we update, we scan the news every day, and we update our website every day with news items that are related to these issues. Right now, have you heard, Dr. Stan, about the Bill S-1082?
No, I haven't.
It's the Food and Drug Administration Revitalization Act.
Oh, you mean the one that they were acting on today that Ted Kennedy's pushing? Yes.
Yes, yes, that one.
Yes, I have, and if that goes through, it'll be a disaster.
It's crazy because it essentially it allows the FDA to earn profits from the sale of pharmaceuticals, essentially turning the FDA into a drug development company. Now, that to me is just exactly what we need when reports have been coming out left and right about the FDA knowing that the peanut butter was tainted, not doing anything about it.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Corey Brackett. Our subject is aspartame and MSG, and the two, of course, are both...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
About the toxic influence of aspartame, and then of course the second DVD is called Sweet Remedy, which I like even better. They're both excellent, and we offer both of them. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question about aspartame, Corey knows a lot more about this than I do. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And my understanding is that pilots are told not to be drinking aspartame containing sodas and things like that before they fly. Have you ever heard that?
Yes, they've been told that. We have Fred Fox, who's a pilot, who gives us testimony. I talked with him, and he has a video clip that we have graciously been allowed to use on our website. So people can go to sweetremedy.tv, and on the left-hand column a little bit down, they can see the clip about him where he goes into some of his experiences in flight. He had a very scary situation with one of his co-pilots who had a very severe reaction to aspartame in flight. And he was able to obviously get the plane down, but it was, you know, a very frightening situation.
Well, we have heard, of course, that the pilots have been advised not to be drinking products that contain aspartame. If you're a pilot, give us a call. I'd like to know if that's really factual or not. Our telephone again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And certainly, the scientific studies are out there. There's another excellent website. It's doorway.com, doorway.com, and that's Betty Martini's website, and she has a great deal of great information. And then Corey Brackett is sweetremedy.tv, is that right?
Yes, TV is in television.
All right, fine. Well, let's go to Ray, who's calling us here from Santa Cruz. And hi, Ray, I got a question to come in.
Yeah, I do. I'd like to know a little bit more about Donald Rumsfeld's involvement in, well, he worked for Searle, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Well, what is your impression of Rumsfeld's involvement in this, Corey?
Oh, well, Ray and Dr. Stanton, Rumsfeld was, in fact, the CEO of G.D. Searle from 1977 until aspartame's approval. At the same time, he was on Reagan's transition team. So
yeah,
it was a real
right.
conflict of interest.
Yeah, right. But has anybody tried to go after him? Because I think he's a criminal.
Well, I know that there have been people who have written letters, made phone calls, that sort of thing. It's very difficult to get to these people, and I think that the more people wake up and the more people realize that we all need to take action
mm-hmm.
and give a voice to our frustration and our anger, the more likely we're going to be to actually invite change to occur.
My understanding is that there is a series of lawsuits involving children with the brain tumors, and that, what is it, back in New York? What's the background of that?
You know, actually, Dr. Stan, I've heard about those lawsuits, but I don't really have much in the way of detail about them.
And there's definitely a relationship, at least in animals, between, of course, the use of aspartame and brain tumors in animals, as well as, of course, the other lymphomas and other similar tumors. And my understanding is that the lawyers are, since we can't get the government to do anything, we couldn't get them to do anything about tobacco either. And the only reason, of course, anything got done about tobacco was you had lawyers who were going to make a lot of money on something like that, and they brought the suits, and eventually, of course, the truth came out about tobacco, which had been concealed for many years by the government. And I think all of our listeners probably remember the video clips of all the heads of the tobacco companies all swearing under oath. There was no evidence that tobacco was harmful or addicting, and they were all lying. And you remember which ones went to prison for lying under oath? Absolutely none of them. Well, of course, it was eventually the lawyers that, got something done. And at least I started to cut back on somewhat on tobacco. But the general idea of poisoning the population, you know, with something such as aspartame that's known to be toxic. Well, you have to understand there is an agenda. And we'll be right back, and we'll take your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Ray on the line. Ray, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, glutamate is also very toxic, isn't it, though? They use it in potato chips and stuff like that, don't they?
Yes.
And of course, and TV dinners.
Glutamate is another word for MSG, monosodium glutamate.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
So they're all the kissing cousins that they work differently. Geez. They're both excitotoxins, and of course, Dr. Olney had worked on both of them. So, and that's why they taste so good. You've ever seen that slogan, you can't just take one, referring
right.
to tomato chisel. That's because they're almost addicting. They just taste so good, you want them more and more, but they're actually destroying your brain as you eat them, and
yeah.
having all sorts of toxic effects yeah. on your general body.
Unfortunately, I like Doritos a lot. I don't know, maybe I should give them up, but...
I think he should. He should. I don't know specifically, but I suspect they've got MSG in them. And you got to learn to read those labels, and it may take you a while before you begin to get the toxic effects from it, but it'll get you sooner or later. By then, your mind may be so demented, you won't even know that there's anything wrong. That's when you're in real trouble, when you don't know that you're being poisoned.
Yeah.
Well, do you know of some of the hidden sources of free glutamic acid or MSG?
No, I'm not familiar with. But I'd heard about the TV dinner thing, and of course the potato chips. I'd known about that, but I wasn't sure exactly what glutamate did. I guess it's cancer-causing, isn't it?
It has all sorts of effects. Really, probably the best book on this that we carry is Excitotoxins, The Taste It Kills, by Dr. Russell Blaylock.
Oh, okay, yeah. That'd be a good one to read.
And we just got a call that's saying plain Doritos do not have MSG in them, so maybe they're safe for you. But
you've
got to learn to read those labels, and if I could suggest... probably get the Dr. Blaylock's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, and it gives you all the hidden names for those things so that you will know what's is what. They've really tried to confuse you.
Well,
my wife says that flavored Doritos do, but the plain ones don't.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, anything else?
The only thing I can say, I googled up aspartame on the internet not too long ago, and it had a lot of information about Donald Rumsfeld that was interesting. But
hold that thought for just a moment here. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Ray calling from Santa Cruz, and Ray had simply asked us about Doritos, and if it noted that the plain Doritos don't have the MSG, but the flavored ones do, and then Ray had another question. What was it?
Well, actually, no. I just wanted to point out that if anybody wants to get on the internet and Google up aspartame, they can get on there and Google it up and get information about it. Quite frankly, I think it's very disturbing that a person that's working for the government is involved in something as horrible as that poisonous stuff that they're putting in our...
Ray, they're poisoning us with so many things. And
yeah.
I would simply suggest Corey's website, that's sweetremedy.tv. And Betty Martini has two websites. One of them is Doorway, DORWAY.com. That's doorway.com. And she has another one as well. But if you go to those two websites, you'll get more information than you could properly use.
Right.
And we carry all sorts of books on this. They're poisoning the American people.
Yeah.
And the media is covering for them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, thank you very much. Okay,
thanks,
let's
Ray.
Go to Ed, who's calling from Colorado. Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Dr. Stan?
Doing just fine.
Hey, I'm just going to say that not all is bad with aspartame. We found a use for it.
I understand you kill ants with this?
That's right. I believe it's aspartame. I'd have to double-check. We have packages that we get from restaurants of one of the artificial sweeteners.
It's called NutraSweet is the one.
Yeah, I believe so. Anyway, we've had a problem with little ants that get inside the house. They're not really bothersome. If we keep things cleaned up, they don't come in too much, but we have children. I heard about this, and I sprinkled just a little bit where they walk, and apparently they take it. They think it's sweet, as do other foolish creatures. At any rate, they take it to their back to their ant hole and perish, I guess, because they go over, they just disappear, and they never come back.
Well, I had heard that, and Bakari, you probably know this a lot better than I do, I'd heard that this was originally developed as an insecticide, and somebody noticed it was sweet, and that's how they it happened that they put it on the market as a sweetener. Is there any truth to that?
It was part of the development of an ulcer drug by G.D. Searle, and then one of the researchers in the lab noticed, accidentally got some on his finger, licked it, noticed the sweet taste. That's how aspartame was born. But it's very interesting, Ed, to hear an actual on-the-field example of that, because I don't touch aspartame after my experience at all. So I've never tried that myself to see if it works.
To be honest with you, I use rubber gloves. I don't like to admit that to people, but I do, and I keep it. I keep just a few packages of it on the shelf where we have other pesticides.
All right,
because that's the only use I can see for it.
All right. Anything else you wanted to say there?
No, that's fine. I very much enjoy your show, Dr. Stan, and just keep up the good work.
Hey, thank you so very much.
Have a good evening.
All right, then let's go to Bob, then, calling from Kennewick, Washington. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Bob, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. You or Corey, either one. I'm looking for help. My brother is in the early stages of Alzheimer's, and his neurologist cannot see anything except prescription drugs to give to him and so forth. Can either of you suggest any place throughout the nation that I can call or seek help as far as other things that he could or should be doing?
All right, Corey, do you have any thoughts on that at all?
Well, I'm thinking that you might have offered some advice, Dr.
Well,
Sam.
Well, I will, but I just want to see if you had anything to say first.
Yeah, I remember reading some things on my site. I think I have an article or two. But I'm not a doctor, so I don't give advice for people.
Well, first of all, Bob, how old is your brother?
He's 79.
All right, fine. So he's getting on in age. Well,
yes, sir.
Is he very bad or just sort of mild?
The neurologist diagnosis is mild to moderate.
All right, first
whatever
of all,
whatever that means.
All right, first of all, you have to understand that if you dissect the brains of somebody with Alzheimer's disease, on average they'll have four times as much mercury in them
right.
as a normal brain. So, I mean, one of the things I would certainly do would be to, you know, get his fillings out, but you have to go to a dentist who really knows what they're doing. They're going to do more harm than good.
Right, right.
If you go to the eye, it's the international, Institute of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, IAOMT, why, of course, they have a website, tells you where the doctors are, the dentists who could take those out. And then, of course, you'd probably want to try to chelate them with IP6, something like that, or other forms of chelation to get rid of the heavy metals. But certainly IP6 is good, and there are other forms of doing that. But then I would go to Bill Sardi's website. That's knowledgeofhealth.com. And he actually has a section there on Alzheimer's disease, and there's certain medicines that seem to help the cognition. And certainly Dr. Blaylock has actually written about that in his newsletter. And there's the Blaylock Wellness Letter, which is something I take, and it's very inexpensive, put out by Chris Ruddy, and it comes by email once a month. And if you do subscribe, you get all the back copies. So I've been taking it for about 4 years now. But of course, if you do subscribe, even for a couple of months, you can get all the back copies and put them in some books and read all the things he has on this and the things dealing with Alzheimer's disease and just improving the memory. I think there's probably a lot that could be done. But of course, you have to approach this from the point of view of getting rid of the toxins.
Right.
And then, of course, you certainly wouldn't want them to have anything in the way of aspartame or MSG. And then, of course, get rid of the mercury. And then, of course, try these other things that are listed. And go to knowledgeofhealth.com and look up Alzheimer's disease. There should be a section there.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much. That's very helpful. I have Dr. Blaylock's book that I got from you, through you, Health and Nutrition Secrets, and there's some good information there.
It really is, and that's right. A great book. I'm glad we use that sort of as an encyclopedia.
Oh, excellent.
And this coming Friday, we're going to have him on for 2 hours here, a two-hour marathon, and if you call in on Friday, maybe you'll have some suggestions. Will he be here the same hour that this one and then the next hour?
Oh, good. That's this coming Friday.
This coming Friday.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for the tip.
Okay.
Appreciate that very much. Bye-bye. Lord bless you both.
You
too,
so much,
Bob, and thank you for calling. And good luck with your brother.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Let us know what happens.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And again, our guest is Corey Brackett. And, Corey, let's give out your webpage one more time so people know how to go there.
Sure. It's sweetremedy.tv. And it's all one word. There's no dashes or anything. Sweetremedy.tv. TV is in television.
All right. Sweetremedy.tv. And, Chris, Chris, why don't you tell our listeners about your second DVD, Sweet Remedy. What will they see when they get that?
Well, A Sweet Remedy, I'm very excited about. It approaches the whole issue of health from asking the question and about, you know, is there just one toxin? And really what we found is that, as I'm sure you know, Dr. Sam, that it encompasses a lot of different things that can all work synergistically with each other. And we also looked that it's not just the toxins in our food supply, but it's our toxins, the toxins that we encounter with the news media and the information we receive from the corporations, the pharmaceuticals, et cetera, that poison our mind into thinking that these things are okay for us when really they're not okay for us. And then it looks into what we can do to regain our health from these different toxic assaults, and then what we can do as a community to regain a sense of autonomy and strength and independence. And those are some of the things that we encompass. But we talked to Dr. Joseph Mercola. We talked to Spice Williams Crosby. We talked to Dr. Blaylock. We talked to Noam Crosby. We talked to Larry Hagman. we talked to a number of different people.
No, but Larry Hagman, is that the fellow who used to be on Dallas?
Yes, he sure is. He's a diabetic, and he talks about stevia, the natural herb that is from China and Brazil and has been used for hundreds of years there with virtually no adverse effects, and yet the FDA, in its infinite wisdom and knowledge, calls it just will only allow us to call it a food supplement, a dietary supplement, not a food additive, not a food product.
Well, what they really want you to do is use something like Splenda. Now, Splenda is a hydrogenated chloride that's made from sugar. It's not a sugar, it supposedly would be the answer if you didn't want to use aspartame. It's probably just about as dangerous. What do you think about Splenda?
Well, from what doctors have told me, it's a chlorinated hydrocarbon similar in chemical structure to DDT, which immediately makes me run in the other direction. But also there have been a vast silence in the area of scientific studies that are long-term on this product. I think the longest one was like 3 months, which is not really telling us what the long-term chronic effects of this substance is, so we don't really know what can happen.
No, it's turned loose on the whole public, and then you get them to be the guinea pigs for it. And of course, then supposedly, if there's any bad effects, and you live, well, you're going to report them. If you die, there's nobody to report them to the government. Well, let's go to Jack here. But certainly, stevia is an excellent product, but it certainly is not well known to most people. But certainly, you want to get away from the aspartame and the NutraSweet. You want to stay away from the Splenda, and sugar is not good for you. But if you have to have sweets, why, certainly stevia is a good way to go. Hi, Jack. How you doing? Jack, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. The first one is regarding xylitol as a substitute and whether xylitol is being sourced from a genetically modified source. The second question
one question at a time. Do you know anything about xylitol?
I've heard whisperings of the genetically modified question, but I haven't looked into it closely enough to know the answer to that. I've heard doctors like Dr. Blaylock say that it's fine and it's safe and okay for you, but that was before the rumblings of GM products came out. Absolute biggest effect of genetically modified foods are in their unknown effects. So those are, you know, we're really playing guinea pigs with the population when we genetically modified foods open up that Pandora's box to mix metaphors, and we're doing these very unknown.
What is xylitol? I'm not acquainted with it.
What is what?
What is this product that Jack was asking about?
Xylitol?
Yes.
That's another sweetener. It's not exactly a natural sweetener, but from what I've been told, it's not in the same category of danger as something like sucralose or aspartame.
All right, fine. We'll ask Dr. Jack. You can call in on Friday and ask Russell when he's with us. What's your second question?
Great. Regarding corporate welfare, obviously, the tobacco industry has enjoyed taxpayer funding for all these years, and I wondered if the lawyers had focused on terminating the government's funding of the tobacco industry. And
are they still subsidizing tobacco? I really don't know whether they are or not.
You know, I hate to say this, but I'm not sure about that one either.
All right, we'll have to look into that. Why don't you look it up on the Internet, Jack? If you don't have do you have a computer?
No. Yeah, I can call the library, though. But secondly, I wanted to know if there was any subsidy, taxpayer subsidy of NutraSweet.
I've never heard of that.
I haven't heard of that either.
I doubt that very much.
Okay.
They don't need to be subsidized. They made so much money off of this first sale, and then Monsanto was putting this out, and I think the large producer now is a company over in Japan, as I remember.
Ajinomoto.
Right.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for calling, Zach. Okay, and I tell everyone number one more time.
I would venture to say, Dr. Stan, that the a very high subsidy, when you think about it, is the approval of aspartame. You know, in a kind of an indirect way, that was handing those companies millions of dollars in revenue because of the approval.
Right, but Chris, I mean, I really think they made hundreds of millions of dollars off the suffering and of people and the damage that they've done to people, not only in America, but all throughout the world. And that's what's unconscionable, because there's an organized effort to conceal this. In fact, recently there was an effort down in New Mexico to outlaw the use of aspartame in food. And certainly the lobbyists there were, I don't know, dozens of lobbyists that came, high-paid lobbyists came to lobby the legislators there in New Mexico. This was within the last month. And, of course, to come up with all sorts of faulty information and to pass out all sorts of contributions, I think they call them, political contributions. Because the last thing they want is for one state. If one state would suddenly say, we're not going to allow this product, this toxic product in here, why then people might begin to ask it. They might even begin to look at the scientific studies. And this is one reason we carry Corey's excellent DVDs, and specifically we recommend Sweet Misery. Of course, we recommend both of them. We think you ought to have both of them. But if you're only going to get one, get the one, Sweet Misery. And there's so much great information on that DVD. Sweet Remedy is the name of it. How long is that, Corey?
Which one?
Sweet Remedy.
Sweet Remedy is 2 hours and 15 minutes.
Okay, well, it's
jam-packed with about 50 different interviews with doctors and...
And you'll see some
political analysts and all sorts of things.
You'll see some film footage of 50 years old, probably, of Dr. Olney, who is one of the original people doing the research to show how toxic it was. And the FDA believed him, and they kept off the market for 15 years till Donald Seale, Rumsfeld came along and forced it on the American people. Well, Corey, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. Really, I think it's so, so important for people in this day and age to get back to connecting with each other as human beings, as individual human beings, and realize that we can take control of our healthcare and our lives and our communities and make a difference if we actually stand up and let our voices be heard in a multitude. And I know that may sound a little 60s-ish, but I do believe that a lot can happen. The FDA bill, which is still in danger right now, the Revitalization Act, Bill S-1082, but that... got extended, its period of public comment got extended from April 30th to May 29th.
Actually, it's actually in the, this. I'm sorry, 1082 is actually in the Senate and being acted on this week. They snuck it in and they started a debate on it today. And so if you're out there listening out, it's here, write to your senator, email your senator. Don't write, you don't have time. Email, call, or fax them and tell them a vote no on a Senate Bill 1082. It's a sleeper. It's being pressed, put forward as a bill to control the big pharmacy companies. It's actually pushed by the big pharmacy companies. It's primarily being backed by Edward Kennedy, the hero of Chappaquiddick, and that alone should cause everybody to be concerned. This is one of the most dangerous bills that's ever gone through. They're through the comment on it, Corey. It's being acted on. It's a stealth bill. They stuck it in today. They're going to try to get this thing through the Senate this week.
But it doesn't have to if we get there and let them know that we're mad about that, and we are going to do something about it, to let them know that we will not vote for them again, and put, you know, the power to the people.
Right. As Edward Dirksen say, we see the light when we feel the heat. And so call and email, in fact. And this week, Senate Bill 1082, and you can go to Brian Richardson's website. He's got a lot of information. Just Google in Brian Richardson. He'll tell you the wording. Or simply just tell him, no, this is terrible legislation. It's going to increase the power of the drug companies and, of course, lead to even more control over the health products. It's really going to gut the Delaney Amendment and all the other things that we've had that have protected the use of health products in America. Corey Brackett, thanks so very much.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you're concerned about what's going on, if you're concerned about your health and your family's health, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And let me suggest that you go to our website at radioliberty.com and look at the various things we offer. So we offer the video Sweet Remedy. We offer the video Sweet Misery. We offered Dr. Russell Blaylock's book, Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, and his book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. There's a book, Aspartame, The Forgotten Disease, by Dr. Roberts. It's about 1,000 pages, all about the poisonous effects of aspartame. And, of course, if you really want to get the definitive study, it's Aspartame, The Forgotten Disease. We have two four-tape sets on this. Of course, we have the two DVDs we've talked about, and the information is there. You need to get it. You need to study it. And you need to begin telling people. I mean, this, it prevents women from getting pregnant. It has an effect on men's fertility. It certainly is carcinogenic, and it certainly keeps your mind from working correctly. It disrupts your endocrine system. And you say, why would anybody allow something like that in our food supply? Why, ladies and gentlemen, there are people who have a different agenda. If you've not seen my talk, Planned Population Control, you need to get that. Or Planned Population Reduction is the title. We also have a talk on population control, and a four-tape set on population control. We have a little pamphlet we put together. It's up on the Internet called The Population Control Agenda Monograph. The Population Control Agenda Monograph. And then if you really want something devastating, let me suggest Dr. Ayoub's excellent video or DVD, Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda. Mercury Autism and the Global Population Agenda, where Dr. Ayoub asked the question, why is it that the people who are pushing world population control want to immunize the children in third world nations with mercury-containing vaccines? And, of course, he answers this beautifully. Of course, if you do order that, well, you can ask for a CD-ROM, and that is provided without charge. CD-ROM with thousands of pages of research material that Dr. Ayoub has put together. This is the talk that Dr. Ayoub gave at the Radio Liberty Conference, I guess was about a year ago. And it's an excellent talk. It really is. We're very, very pleased with it. It's available both in a DVD and in VHS form, and we do hope that if you'd like more information about any of the items we've talked about, why, of course, we would welcome your calls at 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you out there will try to avail yourself of the information and go to our website, and we have so much information on population control. You can pull down my newsletters where we talk about the population control agenda. You can pull down my monograph on the population control agenda and certainly copy it and help us get the information out. One of the most difficult things for people to realize is that there really are evil and wicked people out there. We actually provide the National Security Study Memorandum 200, or we have the complete text of Dr. MacArthur's testimony before the House Appropriations Committee, I think it was in June of 1969, where he asked for $10 million so they could produce an entirely new disease that had never before been known, that of course would attack the immune system, but there'd be no treatment for it. And he said, some people say we shouldn't produce it because it's another method of mass killing. But we want $10 million to produce that, and money to produce another chronic disease that'll produce chronic disability. It just won't kill the people. And 10 years later, they came up with AIDS and chronic fatigue syndrome, so-called HIV-negative AIDS. Well, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and the views of our guests, and for, of course, our guests this evening for this hour is Arthur Burton Clower, Veterans for Constitutional Rights and Veterans for Constitutional Law, and Sydney. Arthur is an activist to help veterans. Now, you have to understand, we've got so many veterans coming back, the veterans of the first Gulf War and of the second Gulf War, and right now the boys are coming home. Sydney, the Veterans Administration is totally overwhelmed. They don't have the facilities to take care of all the veterans. They don't have the money to pay those with chronic disabilities whose lives have been ruined and shattered. A disability payment that they can live with. Even some of the people with, you know, lost arms and legs, it takes them so much time to get any sort of compensation. What happens is they throw them out of the Army. Instead of giving them an Army disability, why they throw them out, and then they have to get to the Veterans Administration, and it takes so long to get anything done there, and it's delay, delay, delay. Why? Because there's no money for it. I mean, they're giving all the money to Halliburton, they're giving all the money to Carlyle Group, they're putting out, there are 100,000 contractors, a private army working over in Iraq today. We've got about 150,000 troops over there, 100,000 contractors, many of them, you know, making $150,000 a year. Somebody's got to pay their salaries. What are they doing? This is a private army. The CIA is really running this war as they did Vietnam, and as you remember what happened in Vietnam. And the same people are running the war over in Iraq, that ran the war into Vietnam, fighting a war that they never intended to win, because, of course, they were fighting it for an entirely different purpose. We don't even have any idea what most of the contractors are doing, and Congress can't find out, our duly elected representatives can't find out, and the money's disappearing. And then the veterans. The veterans come home expecting to be cared for as they should be. I mean, after all, they fought, and many of them have made tremendous sacrifices for our country, but many of them are very ill. And at least 30% of those who are returning today from this current war in the Middle East, within 3 months have some sort of a chronic illness, disease, with multiple symptoms that's disabling them to a greater or lesser degree. With that as the background, thank you so very much for being with us again, Arthur. Thank you very much for being with us again, Arthur.
Okay, Dr. Stan, always a pleasure to work with you.
All right, you go right ahead and tell us what's going on.
Well, I've been doing this a number of years, and I found out something recently that has been going on for a number of years here, and they've been keeping this pretty much under wraps. They've been keeping this a big secret, the military. Let me start with a story of one soldier who was bounced out of the service. He's one of 22,500 soldiers who have been bounced out of the military.
Go right ahead.
John Town has spent the last few years fighting two battles, one against his own body and the other against the United States Army. And both began in October 2004 in Ramadi, Iraq. He was standing in the doorway of his battalion headquarters when a 107-millimeter rocket struck 2 feet above his head. The impact punched a piano-sized hole in the concrete facade.
Now hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Arthur Burnclough. Go ahead, take up the story there, Arthur.
Okay, the impact punched a piano-sized hole in the concrete facade, and it sparked a huge fireball and tossed the 25-year-old Army specialist to the floor where he laid blacked out among the rubble. The next thing I remember is waking up on the ground and men from his unit had gathered around his body and were screaming his name. They started shaking him, but he was numb all over, he said. And it's weird because for a few minutes you feel like you're not really there. I could see them, but I couldn't hear them. I couldn't hear anything. I started shaking because I thought I was dead. Eventually, the rocket shrapnel was removed from Town's neck and his ears. And his ears stopped leaking blood at that point. But the hearing never really recovered. And in many ways, neither has his life. This soldier had been honored 12 times during his 7 years in uniform. Town spent the last three struggling with deafness, memory failure, and depression. By September 2006, he and the Army agreed he was no longer combat ready or deployable to go back overseas. But instead of sending Town to a medical board and discharging him because of his injuries, the doctors at Fort Carson, Colorado, did something strange. They claimed Town's wounds were actually caused by a personality disorder. Town was then booted from the Army and told that under a personality disorder discharge, he would never receive disability or medical benefits. Now, Town is not alone. A six-month investigation has uncovered multiple cases in which soldiers wounded in Iraq are suspiciously diagnosed as having a personality disorder and then prevented from collecting benefits. The conditions of these discharges have infuriated many in the military community. Even military officials that are required to process these dismissals are infuriated by this. And if there's been a six-month investigation, I didn't hear anything about it until several short weeks ago.
Well, now, because was there any basis for this? Had you had any problems before, you know, that they could put their finger on?
Well, I think they're keeping this investigation under wraps from everybody. Now, they say the military is purposely misdiagnosing soldiers like Town, and that it's doing so for one reason, and that's to cheat them out of a lifetime of disability and medical benefits, thereby saving the military billions of dollars in expenses. Now, the fine print here, in the Army Separation Manual, it's called Regulation 635-200.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Arthur. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Arthur was describing this soldier who was suddenly hit very close by this shell that came in, enemy shell, and of course, it resulted in suddenly a concussion, more or less permanent deafness, and he really wasn't able to return to active duty. So instead of, you know, saying, well, he was certainly wounded in the course of his duty and giving him a lifetime pension, they threw him out of the Army saying, well, he had a personality disorder, and that's why, of course, he wasn't entitled to any permanent disability. And yet here's a person who's depressed, here's a person who is deaf now. Is he completely deaf or just partially deaf, Arthur?
He's completely deaf in one ear and partially deaf in the other.
All right, fine. What other disabilities does he have that keep him from working now?
He's taken shrapnel. He's taken shrapnel in the ear and in the head and neck. And
how does his head work? I mean, is he able to think and think clearly?
No, he's not able to think clearly. His memory is all but wiped out. And he's not able to function.
No, in other words, he is not employable.
No, he's totally unemployable.
Oh,
and,
he's totally disabled, and the Army is saying, well, he had the personality disorder beforehand, and so we're not going to give him any disability. And yet he was able
exactly.
to function for 7 or 8 years in the military with condemnations or with praise, commendations, on a number of occasions.
Decorated 12 times in 7 years, this man. 12
right.
times in 7 years.
All right, go ahead with the story.
Well, in the Army Separation Manual, it's called Regulation 635-200. Let's name the enemy. Let everyone know what the enemy is. Chapter 5-13, Separation Because of Personality Disorder. And it's a very alluring choice for a cash-strapped military because enacting it is quick and cheap. The Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, doesn't have to provide medical care to soldiers dismissed with personality disorder, and that's because under Chapter 5-13, personality disorder is a pre-existing condition, and the VA is only required to treat wounds sustained during service.
No, now, ordinarily, wouldn't he should have been eligible for an Army pension, a military pension, rather than a VA pension, shouldn't he?
Absolutely, and what they do is after you get out, even if you get the military pension, after you get out, they will determine whether the VA pension or the military pension is more, and he gets the better of the two.
I'm sure he doesn't get either one of them because...
Nope. He gets nothing. He gets zero. And soldiers discharged under 5-13, they can't collect disability pay either. To receive those benefits, a soldier has to be evaluated by a medical board, and they are refusing a medical board for these people, which must confirm that he's wounded and his wounds stem from combat. They're taking the right of a medical board away from the man. Now, the process takes several months to go through a medical board, and that's in contrast with a 5-13 discharge, which can be wrapped up in 2 to 3 days. Now, if a soldier is dismissed under 5-13 and has not served out his enlistment contract, he has to give back a slice of his reenlistment bonus as well, and that amount is often larger than the soldier's final paycheck. As a result, on the day of their discharge, many injured vets learn that they owe the Army several thousand dollars. Now, one military official said doctors at his base are doing more than withholding this information from wounded soldiers. They are actually telling them the opposite, that if they go along with a 5-13, they'll get to keep their bonus and receive disability and medical benefits. The official who demanded anonymity handles discharge papers at a prominent Army facility. He said the soldiers he works with know they don't have a personality disorder, but doctors are telling them this will get you out quicker and the VA will take care of you. Not true. To stay out of Iraq, a soldier will take that in a heartbeat. What they don't realize is those things are lies. The soldiers, they don't read the fine print. They don't know how to ask for a medical board, and they're taking the word of the doctors. When they sit down with me and find out what a 5-13 really means, they're shocked. Actually, Dr. Stan, the base commander is intimidating these doctors to do what he wants. And that's what the doctors are just following the orders of the base commander. Now, Russell Terry is the founder of the Iraq War Veterans Organization, the IWVO. I've done a couple of programs with him in recent weeks. And he says he's watched this scenario play itself out many times. Now, for more than a year, his veterans' rights group has been receiving calls from distraught soldiers discharged under Chapter 513. Most, he says, say their military doctors push the personality disorder diagnosis, strained to prove that their problems existed before their service in Iraq, and refuse to acknowledge evidence of post-traumatic stress disorder, that's PTSD, traumatic brain injury, and physical traumas, which would allow them to collect disability and medical benefits. And these soldiers are coming home from Iraq with all kinds of problems, Terry said. They go to the VA for treatment, and they're turned away. They're told, no, you have a pre-existing condition, something from childhood. That leap in logic boils Terry's blood. Everybody receives a psychological screening when they join the military, and what I want to know is, if all these soldiers really did have a severe pre-existing condition, how did they get into the military in the first place?
Oh.
Now, Terry says he's trying to reverse a 513 discharge. Trying to reverse a 513 discharge is a very frustrating process. A soldier has to claw through a thicket of paperwork, appeals panels, and backstage political dealing, and even with the guidance of an experienced advocate, very few are successful. The 513, he says, is like a scarlet letter. You can't get it taken off. In six years, the Army has diagnosed and discharged more than 22,500 soldiers because of personality disorder, according to the Defense Department. And the numbers keep rising each year. They keep getting worse and worse every day. The official who handles discharge papers, one official, he says, at my office, the numbers started out normal, and now it's up to three or four soldiers each day. It's suddenly like everybody has a personality disorder. And the reason is simple, he says. They're saving a buck, and they're saving the VA money, too. It's all about money, and exactly how much money is difficult to calculate. Defense Department records show that across the nation, across the entire armed forces, more than 22,500 soldiers have been dismissed due to personality disorder in the last 6 years. Now, how much these soldiers would have collected in disability pay would have been determined by a medical board, which evaluates just how disabled a veteran is. A completely disabled soldier should receive between both about $34,000 a year. In recent $32,000 a year. In recent study on the cost of veterans' benefits for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, Harvard professor Linda Bilmes estimates an average disability payout of $8,890 per year and a future life expectancy of 40 years for soldiers returning from service. And that's a horrible figure. Using these figures, by discharging soldiers under Chapter 513, the military could be saving upwards of $8 billion in disability pay. Add that to the savings cost of medical care over the soldier's lifetime. Bilmes estimates that each year, the VA spends an average of $5,000 in medical care per veteran. Applying those numbers by discharging 22,500 soldiers because of personality disorder, the military saves another $4.5 billion in medical care over their lifetimes. Now, Town says Fort Carson psychologist Mark Wexler, and we're going to name names here, Dr. Mark Wexler, assured him that he would receive his disability benefits, VA medical care, and that he'd get to keep his bonus. Now, good news, he discussed it with two of his buddies, Christian Fields and Brandon Murray, two soldiers in his unit in Fort Carson. We talked about it many times. Murray said John said the doctor there promised him benefits, and he was happy about it. Who wouldn't be? Town shared that excitement with his wife, Christy, shortly after his appointment with Wexler. He said that Wexler had explained to him that he'd get to keep his benefits, Christy says, and that the doctor looked into it, and it was all coming with the chapter he was getting. In fact, Town would not get disability pay or receive long-term VA medical care, and he would have to give back the bulk of his $15,000 reenlistment bonus, and returning that money meant that Town had to leave Fort Carson less than empty-handed. He now owed the Army more than $3,000. Now, we had this on our heads the whole way driving home to Findlay, Ohio, said Town. Wexler made him promises, he said, about what would happen if he went along with the...
Because I certainly don't want to defame Wexler. Where is this a story you're reading? Where did it come from?
This came from a magazine called The Nation.
Okay, this is a magazine. You're quoting that.
Yes.
All right, fine.
This came from a magazine called The Nation, and the writer is Sherwood Ross, based in Miami.
Okay, you go right ahead then.
Okay.
So we're actually quoting this quoting this magazine. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I looked into this very carefully. It's not just the magazine. I looked into this very carefully. I've got a couple of other things that have come in around the same time, and it correlates. The story correlates, so.
All right.
In fact...
Go ahead.
Town would not get disability pay or receive long-term VA medical care, and he'd have to give back most of his $15,000 bonus. Wexler denies discussing benefits with Town. In a statement, the psychologist writes, I have never discussed benefits with my patients, as that's not my area of expertise. The only thing I said to Specialist Town was that Chapter 5-13 is an honorable discharge. And that's a lie. It's not an honorable discharge. It's a general discharge, and the general discharge has no benefits.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment here with Arthur as we explore really the mistreatment of our veterans. Hold on, we'll be right back. Go right ahead there.
Okay, and Wexler again says, I assure you, after over 15 years in my position, both as an active duty and now civilian, I don't presume to know the details about benefits and therefore do not discuss them with my patients. Wexler's boss is Colonel Stephen Knorr. That's K-N-O-R-R. As I said, we're naming names here. He's the chief of the Department of Behavioral Health at Evans Army Hospital at Fort Carson. He declined to speak about Pound's case. When asked if doctors at Fort Carson were assuring patients set for a 513 discharge that they'll receive disability benefits and keep their bonuses, Norris said, "I don't believe they're doing that." Now, according to these regulations, to be classified as a personality disorder, a soldier's symptoms had to exist before he joined the military, and they have to match the personality disorder described in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. That's important. Remember that. Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the National Standard for Psychiatric Diagnosis. Town's case provides a clear window into how these personality disorder diagnoses are being used, because even a cursory examination of his case casts grave doubt as to whether he fits either criterion. Town's wife, for one, laughs in disbelief at the idea her husband was suffering from hearing loss before he headed to Iraq. But since returning, he said, he can't watch TV unless the volume is full blast, can't use the phone unless the volume is set to very high. Medical papers from Fort Carson list Town as having no health problems before serving in Iraq, and after a Fort Carson audiologist documents functional, non-organic hearing loss, Town says his right ear, his good ear, has lost 50% of his hearing. His left is still totally useless. He's more disturbed by how his memory has eroded. Since the rocket blast, he has struggled to retain new information, like I'll be driving places, and then I totally forget where I'm going, he said. Numbers, names, dates, unless I knew him before, I pretty much don't remember. When Town returned to his desk job at Fort Carson, he found himself straining to recall the Army's regulations. People were like, what are you, dumb? And he says, no, I'm probably smarter than you. I just can't remember stuff. They don't understand. I got hit by a rocket. Now, these bursts of rage marked the biggest change, said his wife. She says the man she married 4 years ago was a completely different person before the rocket hit him. And his emotions are all over the place, and he gets so angry at things. It's not toward anybody. His anger is toward himself. He blames himself for everything, and he's got a hard time sleeping and doesn't spend as much time as he used to with the kids. In May 2006, Town tried to electrocute himself, dropping his wife's hairdryer into the bathtub. The dryer short-circuited before it could electrify the water. And this is what Fort Carson officials did. The Fort Carson officials put Town in an off-post hospital that specializes in suicidal depression. Town had been promoted to corporal after returning from Iraq. He was stripped of that rank and reduced back to specialist. When he came back, I try to be the same, Christie said. He just can't. He's definitely not the man he used to be. Now, Town says his dreams have changed, too. They keep taking him back to Ramadi, Iraq, to the death of a good friend who had been too near an explosion, taking too much shrapnel to the face.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with that. And so Arthur's telling us about this soldier. Has really, his whole life has been altered as a result of the shrapnel and the deafness and his mind. He doesn't remember. He has fits of rage. He can't hold a job. His marriage is beginning to crumble. And yet, of course, the military is saying we have no obligation to him. He had a personality disorder before he came in the military, and that's why he's not eligible for any help at all. So go ahead, Arthur.
Yeah, it's a nightmare what they did to this man and many, many others. And
this is really a standard procedure, because they're trying to save money, because they need it for Carlisle, they need it for Halliburton.
Exactly.
They lost $12 billion over there. Nobody knows what it happened to over in Iraq. Well, I suspect the CIA got it for their black operations, but oh, it sucks. We're just so incompetent. We lost the $12 billion. At least that's what we're told. Go ahead, Arthur.
Now, how the Army determined that Towns' behavioral problems existed before his military service is unclear. Wexler, the Fort Carson psychologist who made the diagnosis, didn't interview any Towns' family or friends. It's unclear whether he even questioned Towns' fellow soldiers in 2-17 field artillery, men like Fields, Murray, and Michael Forbes, who could have testified to his stability and award-winning performances before the October 2004 rocket attack. As Forbes puts it, before the attack, Town was one of the best in our unit. After, he was deaf in one ear, he seemed lost and disoriented, and it just took the life out of him. Town finds that his diagnosis especially strange. Because the diagnostic manual appears to preclude cases like his. It says that a pattern of erratic behavior cannot be labeled a personality disorder if it's from a head injury, and Town's injury is a head injury. The specialist asserts that his hearing loss, headaches, and anger all began with the rocket attack that knocked him unconscious.
And you know, really, the tragedy is, Arthur, we're having so many head injuries over
there. Oh, my God.
And because this is so many of these related to the other roadside explosive.
Yeah, these roadside bombs, that's the nature of the whole thing there
right.
in Iraq.
And so many of our boys are being injured, and they'll never be the same again.
No. And Wexler did not reply to repeated requests seeking comment on Town's diagnosis. But Colonel Knorr of Fort Carson's Evans Hospital says he's confident his doctors are properly diagnosing personality disorder. The colonel says there is a simple explanation as to why, in so many cases, the lifelong condition of personality disorder isn't apparent until after serving in Iraq. Traumatic experiences, Knorr says, can trigger a condition. Now, get this, Dr. Stan. Traumatic experiences, Knorr says, can trigger a condition that has lain dormant for years. Can you see the way they're building something up here? They may have done fine in high school and before, but it comes out during the stress of service. Now, I've never heard of that occurring, says Keith Armstrong, a clinical professor with the Department of Psychiatry at the University of California, San Francisco. Armstrong has been counseling traumatized veterans for more than 20 years at the San Francisco VA. Most recently, he's the co-author of Courage After Fire, Coping Strategies for Troops Returning from Iraq and Afghanistan and Their Families. Personality disorder is a diagnosis I'm very cautious about, he says. My question would be, has PTSD been ruled out? It seems to me that if it walks like a duck, looks like a duck, let's see if it's a duck before other factors are implicated. Knorr admits that in most cases, before making a diagnosis, his doctors only interview the soldier, but adds that interviewing family members untrained to recognize signs of personality disorder would be of limited value. The soldier's perception and their parents' perception is that they were fine, but maybe they didn't and weren't able to see what was the case. I have one comment to that, and that's quack, quack, you know. Armstrong takes a very different approach. He says family is a crucial part of the diagnosis and treatment of soldiers returning from war. The professor sees parents and wives as so important. He encourages his soldiers to invite the families into the counseling sessions. They bring in particular information that can be helpful, and by not taking advantage of their knowledge and support, I think we're doing these soldiers a terrible disservice. Knorr would not discuss the specifics of Town's case. He did note, however, that his department treats thousands of soldiers each year and says within that population there's bound to be a small faction of misdiagnosed cases and dissatisfied soldiers. He adds that that the soldiers he's seen diagnosed and discharged with personality disorders are usually quite pleased. The Army holds soldiers' medical records and contact information strictly confidential, but the nation was able to locate a half a dozen soldiers from bases across the country who were diagnosed with personality disorder. And all of them rejected that diagnosis, and most said that military doctors tried to force the diagnosis upon them and turned a blind eye to symptoms of PTSD and physical injury.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. Well, this is... Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Arthur Bernclough. We just want to take a little quick break here. Bruce has been waiting on the line for some time. And Bruce from Spokane, he says he's been 24 years trying to get a disability payment from veterans. Is that right, Bruce?
Say again, please.
Oh, tell us, what was your story?
Well, you know, I, like some other people, had been discharged without any kind of benefits. And I was discharged after filing a congressional complaint.
You were discharged after you filed a congressional complaint?
Yes.
All right, fine.
They had played around with my medical condition so long. They had denied me coming out to the military and put me on a status that disallowed you from coming out to military service for 11 months. And after the 12th month, they're supposed to put you on a mandatory medical review board for medical discharge. And at the 12th month, without having any kind of examinations in the last 11 months, they certified me fit for duty and discharged me the next day.
All right, fine.
The trickery is incredible, what goes on there in the military with discharge. It's incredible, the trickery.
Well, there are so many unscrupulous and immoral people out in the military, and most, of course, are in the staff. I spent, I traveled the world. I got to see, Kuwait, and I got to see Iraq and Baghdad and those interesting places. But there was...
Well, Bruce, you have a disability that's directly related to your military service.
Oh, absolutely.
What sort of disability?
It is not recognized.
What sort of disability do you have?
Pardon?
What sort of disability do you have?
Well, I've got my hearing. I've got hearing loss. I've got... I had four knee surgeries. I have debilitating problems with my knees.
Have you taken them to court outside at all?
Pardon?
Have you taken them to court outside? Have you gotten an attorney and taken them to court?
Bruce, I would suggest that you get hold of Arthur. We'll get the telephone number out here later in the program, and you can get hold of him. He can tell you how to go about actually dealing with the Veterans Administration.
Well,
if you try to do this on your own, you're going to have real problems.
Well, I've tried to do it through VSOs, what are called Veteran Service Officers. And
that's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
Bruce, at the end of the program, just hang on, and you can get the telephone
number. Yeah, I'd like to get the rest
Arthur.
Of this information out if I possibly
you'll
can.
You go right ahead. Hold on, just hold on. Okay, you go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to get this information out, Dr. Stan, because this is important that people know what's going on here. I'll be glad to help Bruce if he calls my number, and I'll be glad to speak to him, and I'll tell him exactly what he has to do.
All right, Bruce, and I want you to get your telephone number out right now and your website, and then we'll get on with the rest of the information. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't have a website. However, my telephone number is 631-474-4261.
One more time.
631-474-4261, and I can be written to, if you want, Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited, at 112 Jefferson Avenue, in Port Jefferson, New York, 11777.
All right, fine. You go ahead with your story. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's get back to where we were before. The Army holds soldiers' medical records and contact information strictly confidential, but The Nation magazine was able to locate a half a dozen soldiers from bases across the country who were diagnosed with personality disorder. All of them rejected that diagnosis, and most said that military doctors tried to force the diagnosis upon them and turned a blind eye to symptoms of PTSD and physical injury. One such veteran, Richard Dykstra, went to the hospital at Fort Stewart, Georgia, complaining of flashbacks, anger, and stomach pains. The doctor there diagnosed personality disorder. Quack, quack. Dykstra thinks that the symptoms actually stem from PTSD and a bilateral hernia he suffered in Iraq. When I told her my symptoms, she said, "Oh, it looks like you've been reading up on PTSD. and then basically said I was making it all up. In her report on Dykstra, Colonel Anna Parodi, that's P-A-R-O-D-I, as I said, I'm naming names here, head of behavioral health at Fort Stewart's Wynn Army Hospital, writes that the soldier gives a clear description of PTSD symptoms, but lays them out with such detail, it's as if he had memorized the criteria. She concludes that Dykstra has personality disorder and not PTSD, although her report also notes that Dykstra has had no previous psychiatric history. I repeat, no previous psychiatric history, and that she confirmed the validity of his symptoms with the soldier's wife. Parodi is currently on leave and could not be reached for comment. How convenient. Speaking for Fort Stewart, Public Affairs Officer Lieutenant Colonel Randy Martin says that the Army's diagnosis procedures have been developed over time and they're accepted as being fair. Martin said he could not address Dykstra's case specifically because his files have been moved to a storage facility in St. Louis. Hey, isn't that the famous military records place where they had that famous fire? St. Louis? And I'm sure everyone who's a veteran knows about that famous fire in St. Louis. William Wooldridge, W-O-O-L-D-R-I-D-G-E, had a similar fight with the Army. The specialist was hauling missiles and tank ammunition outside of Baghdad, when he says a man standing at the side of the road grabbed hold of a young girl and pushed her in front of his truck and killed her. The little girl, Wooldridge said, his voice suddenly quiet, looked like one of my daughters. When he returned to Fort Polk, Louisiana, Wooldridge told his doctor that he was now hearing voices and seeing visions, hallucinations of a mangled girl who had asked him why he had killed her. His doctor told him he had a personality disorder. When I heard that, I flew off the handle because I said, hey, that's not me. Before I went over there, I was a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Wooldridge said his psychologist, and here's another name, Captain Patrick Brady of the Baines-Jones Army Community Hospital, saw him for 30 minutes. Hey, he gave him a full 30 minutes before making his diagnosis. Soon after, Wooldridge was discharged from Fort Polk under Chapter 5-13, Personality Disorder. He began to fight that discharge immediately without success. Then in March 2005, 18 months after Wooldridge's dismissal, his psychiatrist at the Memphis VA filed papers rejecting Brady's diagnosis and asserting that Wooldridge suffered from PTSD so severe it made him totally disabled. Weeks later, the Army Discharge Review Board voided Wooldridge's 5-13 dismissal, but the 18 months he'd spent lingering without benefits had already taken its toll. They put me out on the street to rot. If I had left things like they were, there would have been no way I could have survived. I would have had to take myself out or have someone do it for me, he said. The way they use personality disorder to diagnose and discharge, he says, it's like a mental rape. It's the only way I can describe it. Captain Brady has since left Fort Polk and is now at Fort Wainwright, Alaska. Recently, he was deployed to Iraq and was unavailable for comment. You folks who are in Iraq, if you run across a Captain Brady, I think you know what you can do with him. I didn't say it, but I did say it. In a statement, it's during the war in Vietnam, we called it fragging.
You certainly would not want to recommend anything violent be done to anybody, but that's you get into real problems.
I understand, Dr. Stan, but, you know, sometimes...
You do not, you know, recommend...
Unfortunate, but sometimes you've got to fight fire with fire.
No, you do not suggest, doing something like that. That's a criminal offense.
I just made the suggestion. Let whoever hears, you know, take his own course of action. And, Major Byron Strother, who is the chief of the Department of Behavioral Health at Baines-Jones Hospital, writes that allegations. Now, you see that word, allegations? That's a very, very well-used word in the military and with the VA. Allegations that soldiers at Fort Polk are being misdiagnosed are not true. Strother says diagnoses at his hospital are made only after careful consideration of all relevant clinical observation, direct examination, and appropriate testing. Now, this statement he just made, and the other statement that 22,500 are being discharged with personality disorders, I think that conflicts with each other, don't you, Dr. Stan? 22,500 personality disorders. If there are dissatisfied soldiers, says Knorr, the Fort Carson official, I'll bet not a single one of them has been diagnosed with conditions that are clear-cut and makes them medically unfit, like schizophrenia. Now, Linda Mosier disputes that. When her son Chris left for Iraq in 2004, he was a normal kid. She says he'd call her long distance and joke about the strange food and expensive taxis overseas. When he returned home for Christmas 2005, he wouldn't sit down for a meal with us. He just kept walking around. I took him to the department store for slacks, and he was inside rushing around, screaming, "Let's go, let's go, let's go." He wouldn't sleep, and the one time he did, he woke up screaming. Mosier told his mother of a breaking point in Iraq, a roadside bomb that blew up the truck in front of his. He said his buddies were screaming. They were on fire. He says a voice trailing off. He was there at the end to pick up the hands and arms. After Mosier started having delusions, Dr. Wexler of Fort Carson diagnosed personality disorder. Soon after, Mosier was discharged under Chapter 5-13. Mosier returned home still plagued by visions. In October, he put a note on the front door of their Des Moines, Iowa home saying the Iraqis were after him and he had to protect his family. Then he shot himself. Mosier's mother is furious that doctors at Fort Carson treated her son for such a brief period of time and that Wexler, citing confidentiality, refused to tell her anything about that treatment or give her family any direction on how to help Chris upon his return home. She does not believe her son had a personality disorder. They take a normal kid, he comes back messed up, and then nobody is there for him when he comes back. Linda says they discharge him so they didn't have to treat him. Wexler, of course, did not reply to a written request seeking comment on Mosier's case. He was thrown to the wolves, Dr. Stan. He was thrown to the wolves. Now, today, Johnstown is at home in a small town in Findlay, Ohio, with no job, no prospects, and plenty of time to reflect on how he got there. Diagnosing him with personality disorder may have saved the Army thousands of dollars, he says, but what did Wexler have to gain? Quite a lot, says Steve Robinson, director of Veterans Affairs at Veterans for America in Washington, D.C.-based Soldiers' Rights Group. Since the Iraq War began, he said doctors have been facing an overflow of wounded soldiers and a shortage of rooms, supplies, and time to treat them. By calling PTSD a personality disorder, they usher one soldier out quickly, freeing up the space for the three or four who are waiting. Terry, the veterans advocate from the Iraq War Veterans, notes that unlike doctors in the private sector, Army doctors who give questionable diagnoses face no danger of malpractice suits due to Ferris versus United States, a 1950 Supreme Court ruling that bars soldiers from suing for negligence. That's the Ferris Doctrine, Dr. Stan. To maintain that protection, Terry says, most doctors will diagnose personality disorder when prodded to do so by military officials. When the base commander says do it, you do it, or you don't keep your job. That's the way it works over there.
Well, I really think that many times the pressure's on the doctors to do these things, and and you're in the military, you're supposed to obey orders.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, why a doctor's first obligation is to his patient. And when you get to that point where you're going to have to make a choice between the patient and your orders, you leave the Army. And I think that an awful lot of doctors should do the right thing. And
exactly.
If you really in your heart know that you're swaying things in one direction or the other because it's the expedient thing to do, then, of course, you have an obligation. Even if it means you make a personal sacrifice, you have an obligation to leave military service.
Well, if that doctor wants to do the right thing, you see how fast that base commander will bounce him out of the service.
That's right.
Now, the lawyer, this is precisely how the system works, said one military official with the familiar with the discharge process. The official who, again, requested anonymity is a lawyer with Trial Defense Services, the TDS, a unit of the Army that guides soldiers through their 5-13 discharge. commanders want to get these guys out the door and get it done fast. And, of course, he wouldn't identify himself because he wouldn't have a job if he did. Even if the next soldier isn't as good, at least he's good to go. He's deployable. So they're telling the docs what diagnosis to give to get what discharge. Now, the lawyer says he knows this is happening because commanders have told him that they're doing it. And some have come to me and talked to me about doing this. They said, give me a specific diagnosis, I'll support a certain chapter. Colonel Martin of Fort Stewart said the prospect of commanders pressuring doctors to diagnose personality disorder is highly unlikely. Doctors are making these determinations themselves, Martin says. In a statement, Colonel William Statz, commander at Fort Polk's Baines Jones Hospital, said any allegations that clinical decisions are influenced by either political considerations or command pressure at any level are untrue. Twaddle. But a second TDS lawyer, who also demanded an anonymity, says he has watched the same process play out at his base. What I've noticed is right before a unit deploys, we see a spike in 513s as if the commanders are trying to clean house, get rid of the soldiers they really don't need, he said. The chain of command just wants to eliminate them and get a new body in there fast to plug up the holes and ship overseas. If anyone even shows moderate signs of psychological distress, he says, they're kicking them to the curb instead of treating them. Now, both lawyers say that once a commander steps in and pushes for a 513, the diagnosis and discharge are carved in stone fairly fast. After that happens, one lawyer says, he points soldiers toward the Army Board for Correction of Military Records, where a 513 label could possibly be overturned. Not likely, but possibly. And failing that, advises them to seek redress from their representative in Congress. Town did that, contacting Republican Representative Michael Oxley of Ohio with little success. Oxley, who has since retired, did not even return calls seeking comment. Few cases are challenged successfully or overturned later, say the TDS lawyers. The system, says one, is essentially broken. Right now, the Army is eating its own. What I want to see is soldiers getting the right diagnosis so they can get the right help and not be thrown to the wolves right away, and that's exactly what they're doing. Still, Town tries to remain undaunted. He got his story to Robinson of Veterans for America, who brought papers on his case to an October hearing with several top Washington officials, including Deputy Surgeon General Gail Pollack, Assistant Surgeon General Bernard DeKooning, and Republican Senator Kit Bond of Missouri. There, Robinson laid out the larger 513 problem and submitting a brief, especially on Town. We got a very positive response, Robinson said. After we presented, they were almost appalled, like we are every day, he said. We didn't know this was happening, Robinson said. The Deputy Surgeon General promised to look into Town's case, and the others presented to her. Senator Bond, whose son has served in Iraq, floated the idea of a congressional hearing if the 513 issue isn't resolved. The senator, of course, did not return calls seeking comment, and nothing went with this investigation. The investigation has been stalled and nothing is going on. In the meantime, Town is doing best to keep his head in check. He says his nightmares have been waning in recent weeks, but most of his problems persist. He's thinking of going to a veteran support group in Toledo, Ohio, 45 miles north of Findlay. There have been guys there who have been through this and vets who understand. Town hesitates, his voice suddenly much softer. He says, I have my good days and my bad days. It all depends on whether I wake up in Findlay, Ohio, or Ramadi, Iraq. And this is a disgrace, Dr. Stan. This is a disgrace. This is one of the worst things. And the most amazing part of it is, I only started hearing about this a few weeks ago. And I'm in close touch with these guys getting out of the service. And I only started hearing this a few weeks ago.
Well, I think we have to realize that at least as far as the elite, our soldiers are expendable. After all, Henry Kissinger is quoted in the book The Final Days as saying, that's Woodward and Bernstein, they're simply stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy purposes. And, of course, remember, Henry Kissinger is one of the major advisors to the current administration, according to Bob Woodward's latest book, Under Siege, I think is the title. a stupid dumb animals. That's what they think of your sons. That's what they think of your brothers and your fathers. And we'll be back here in just a moment with Arthur Burncloud. But Arthur, before we do that, I want you to get your telephone number out just one more time.
Okay, my name is Arthur Burncloud. I'm Executive Director for Veterans for Constitutional Law, and we help veterans and we help servicemen. And if you're having a problem, please contact me. We might be able to help you. And my telephone number is 631-474-4261. We don't charge you for our services, and we will try to help you get what you deserve from the Veterans Administration or from the military. Now, to write us, we're Veterans for Constitutional Law Limited. We're at 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York. 112 Jefferson Avenue in Port Jefferson, New York, and our zip code is 11777. And today the laws have changed a little bit. You might be able to retain an attorney outside, and we can evaluate that attorney for you and try and help you put your case together. And there's a lot of people being discharged out of the service who are being robbed and cheated out of their benefits. It seems to be a way of life that's been going on for years and years, but it's getting worse by the day. So please call me, including the gentleman who called in with his own case. I might be able to help.
Well, I certainly appreciate everything you do, Arthur. I think it's so vitally important that people understand what's happened is this war was only supposed to be just a little easy war, and here it's been dragging on in Afghanistan for 5.5 years, certainly 4 years in Iraq. But the casualty count is mounting. It is not simply those killed and those, of course, severely wounded, but well over a third of the young men coming back. And we're talking about hundreds of thousands of them now have come back from the second Gulf War,
yeah,
the first Gulf War, and at least a third of them, and perhaps even more, are ill within 3 months. And many of them will have a disability that will be with them all of their lives, and there isn't enough money, and they don't want to appropriate the money. They don't want to take it away from the pet projects. They don't want to take the money away from Halliburton. They don't want to take the money away from Carlisle. They don't want to take the money away from the major corporations or from the contractors over there. The 100,000 contractors who are doing, well, we don't know what they're doing over there, but there's a private army that the CIA is running over there as they're fighting their own war, and you're not hearing about it any more than you heard about what really happened up there in South Vietnam. So, one parting thought for our listeners before I let you go.
An inept Congress will do nothing about this. They're not doing anything about it. They're even talking now about deploying next April now. There is nothing more that can be done over there. These people have been killing each other for centuries over there, and they're going to continue killing each other long after we leave. And our nation has bankrupted itself with this oil war that we're having. Our nation has bankrupted itself, and the oil companies are making windfall profits, and the people are being raped at the gas pump. People can't afford to put gasoline in their cars anymore, and this is the result of the war. And Mr. Bush has built himself a monument to himself with this new embassy he's got there in Iraq.
We're out of time, Arthur. God bless. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you for having me, Dr. Stan. I hope we've gotten across to people.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening was Arthur Burncloud, and Veterans for Constitutional Law, and Arthur works without pay to try to help veterans, and of course these veterans need a lot of help. They need your support. I mean, they're somebody's son, somebody's husband, somebody's brother, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands who've come back, many who will never be the same again. War is hell. We never should have gotten into this war. They lied to us about the reason we went into Afghanistan, because we did not go in there to get Osama bin Laden. We didn't try to get Osama bin Laden. They lied to us why we went into Iraq, and of course, because We did not go in to win. If we'd gone in to win, we would have put in enough troops to begin with. It took 695,000 troops in Gulf War I, you know, to shoo the troops, the Saddam's troops, out of Kuwait. We didn't confront them at all. We just forced them to leave. Why would we think that we could then take and conquer and hold Iraq with less than a quarter of what the troops that we had there in 1991? And, of course, we didn't go into it. You must understand, this is Vietnam all over again. The military isn't allowed to try to win the war. We're being fought for an entirely different purpose. What's that purpose? Well, let me suggest to you that you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And pull down our February 2007 newsletter. If you want to know what really got up to, what happened on 9/11, you need to get our pamphlets. There are three pamphlets called Foreknowledge 911. And you'll get an entirely different perspective of what's really going on. We have, of course, we have a talk called Iraq, the Untold Story. It's really the history of all of the wars of modern times. It's a video. There's a syllabus that goes with it. If you really would like to get into what happened on 9/11, we have a number of DVDs. We carry Terror Storm, 9/11 Mysteries, 9/11 Press for the Truth, In Plain Sight, and The Day That Changed America Forever. Those are all in DVD format. You need, of course, to understand that we've not been told the truth about what happened on 9/11 any more than we were told the truth about why we went into Afghanistan or why we went, of course, into Iraq. Let me suggest that you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and pull down my August, September, October, November, and December 2006 newsletters. August through December 2006 newsletters. Read them through several times, and you'll know why we went in. You'll understand what really happened on 9/11. And you realize that this was planned long beforehand. The long lines at airports were planned back in 1996. And Condoleezza Rice told the 9/11 Commission the reason they did not do anything ahead of time. And we actually have the testimony. She said, the reason we didn't do anything ahead of time is there had to be an incident, there had to be a crisis, something that would change the people's perspective and make them willing to accept more in the way of regulation. And that's what it's all about. That's what 9/11 was all about. They had to have an incident. Those are Condoleezza Rice's words, not mine. And, of course, we can even give you the pages from her testimony or from the book Without Precedent by Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton. We have the material, the documentation, if you'd like. There had to be an incident. That's what it was all about. And they got their incident just the day after the report on what we were going to do was completed. In other words, they came up with a plan for attacking Iraq one day, pardon me, for attacking Afghanistan one day, and the next day we had 9/11. What are the chances that that happened? By accident? At least that's what Donald Rumsfeld told the 9/11 Commission. Anyway, pray for America. Pray for revival. Our number 1-800-544-8927. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.